Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Marilyn, I want to thank you for reading so well on Ash Wednesday and again today. I really appreciate your leadership in this congregation, your reading ability, and your good heart. So thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate you. And I think a lot of people appreciate you, so thank you. Are you ready for some spiritual warfare? Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to go against sin, death, and the devil? Do you have a prayer? Well, guess what? If you try to do it on your own, you don't have nothing. Nada. Because we can't. Because we're fighting against spiritual forces beyond our control. If you're not afraid, you should be. But St. Luke tells us there's a way. There's a way to fight sin, death, the devil, all the lies and twistedness, all the evil and terrible things that can happen. God's word. And what was Jesus doing during all this time when he was being tempted before that? Remember, he was baptized, and what was he doing? He came out of the water. He was praying. Praying, one of the disciplines of Lent. Praying to your umbilical cord. You're like when the space people walk out of the spaceship, they always have that cord, lifeline. Prayer is your lifeline to God to keep you strength when the devil attacks. We have God's word that we can use as a sword to fight against the devil. We have the sacrament to give you strength. We are baptized. Remember who you are. As Luther said, this life is not rest, but work. He writes, and his mighty fortress is our God. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. On earth he has no equal. But then Luther says, you can't defeat the devil. The temptations are there. The nasty word, the hateful thought, the want to have revenge, keeping confusion, all the things of the devil. But Luther said, one little word shall fell him. And what's that word? What's that word? I quit. Come on, what's that word? I've been talking about it every Sunday and you come, what's that word? Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And in Jesus Christ, the kingdom is ours forever. So let's look at what's happening today. Jesus was just baptized. Jesus received the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, away from everything else. He was stripped down. 40 days he fasted. He was spiritually hungry. He was physically hungry. He had nothing. Economically, he was hungry. And he was by himself, except he was not by himself. Remember that old song by Green Day, as I think it is? I walk alone, I walk alone. Nah, you never walk alone. Christ is always with you. And Jesus knew that God was with him. So after that fasting, he was stripped down. He was vulnerable. He had no outside supports, only his Father in heaven. And when you're hungry or tired or overwhelmed or over anxious or very vulnerable, that's when the enemy comes at you. And he comes at Jesus with an obvious temptation. He said, first, you're starving. And then, listen to what he says. If you are the Son of God. And it starts with that little question about what God has said. I mean, in Adam and Eve in the garden, what does Satan say to Eve? Did God really say that? Oh, I can just twist this a little bit. There's no problem here. If you are the Son of God, okay. Well, Jesus said, this is my beloved son. God said Jesus was his son with whom he was well pleased. But if you are the son of God, the lie, the repetition, because he repeats this three times today, Satan, the twisting of God's word. Jesus knew, and he taught us, not the devil, give us this day our daily bread. Who gives us our daily bread? God. Well, God and Jesus Christ, yes. Yeah. Who gives us this daily bread? You know, Jesus knew the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord will provide. The devil didn't do that, so that the devil lost that one. Yay! Now Jesus is free. No, no. Just when you think it's safe, guess what? He comes again. He comes again. He shows, you know, what? He shows all the kingdoms. Okay, you're feeling wiped out. You're tired. You're supposed to be the Son of God. Look at the world. Wow. Boom, you can have it all. You can have your golden toilet. You can have whatever you want. Sit down and worship me. All these splendors are yours. All you got to do is lose your soul. That's all you got to do. Lose your soul. Follow me. And it's going to be yours. Worship Satan, not God. Worship the liar, the deceiver, the disturber, the divider, the confuser, the chaotic one. Because whenever you see this, you know there is Satan. And the power of the Spirit, Jesus resists this temptation. He resisted the big lie. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. The kingdom and the world does not belong to Satan. This is our Father's world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves the world. So Jesus gives the strength to fight the economic temptation, turning stones to bread. You know, it used to be we wanted to get a job, right, to make earn a living. Now the temptation, we want to be rich. We want to be billionaires. You know, we've lost our sense of balance here. So, or the political power. I'll sell my soul to get power. I'll do anything. I'll lie to get power. I'll say one thing 10 years ago and I'll say something else now just so I can have power. I can sit there with power. Oh, that's the greatest aphrodisiac. Power. Woohoo! Yeah. And you lose your soul. Big trade-off, folks. And now, the biggie for me and you religious folks, the religious temptation. You know, look, Satan says, you're just a common-looking Jew. You got a big nose, you got curly hair, you got dark skin. Nobody can tell who you are, but if you do something spectacular, they'll think you're wow. So he quotes the psalm that we had today, our Psalm 91. Oh, well, then we'll put you on this big temple on top of the top house. Jump off, jump off. The angels will come. You won't even get a splinter. It'll be safe. And what does Jesus say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. God gives us his word. He gives us his 10 words, the 10 commandments. He gives us his command to love one another, to even love our enemies. These are not suggestions, folks. These are the way to live. And you break these, and things begin, just a little bit begins to change. We are to turn to God, turn back to Jesus, return to our baptism, pray. Even when you don't feel like it, do it. Read the Bible. Do these disciplines. I mean, when John and I have our devotions, it's wonderful. When we're too busy to have our devotions, the day doesn't go as well. It doesn't go as well. So the economic, the political, and the religious temptations. Now, don't get me wrong. It's okay to be religious. I mean, I like being religious, okay? I'm glad you're here today. It's wonderful. It's okay to be smart economically. That's a good thing. And to be a good politician. In fact, the politician, the Bible talks about being a good shepherd. But being a good shepherd looks out for the sheep and cares for the poor and the widow and the orphan and the immigrant and cares for them. When you go against them, you're not a good shepherd. Each one's good in themselves. But the thing is, don't overestimate them. Don't overestimate them. Don't major in minors. Don't take God's creation and make it an idol. Remember, I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. We're to fear, love, and trust God above all things. So Jesus defeated Satan for a time, because Luke tells us Satan the devil departed until an opportune time. What he's saying is, don't let your shields down, folks. Don't let your shields down, because that's the time. When you least expect it, when you're least ready, he's there. Luke reminds us, in this life, we are really totally never out of the wilderness. Every day, we go to battle. That's why St. Paul says, put on the armor of God. You know, put on the armor of God. A mighty fortress is our God, Luther tells us. That we are loved. Goodness and mercy, forgiveness, these are the most powerful forces in the world. We tend to forget. Society gives us a whole different story than the story and promise of God and Jesus Christ that we know in the Bible, that we know in the church, that we know in the sacraments. The devil lies in wait for us, is ready to pounce anytime. And you know yourself, when you say, well, everybody else is doing it, what was that, Joan, that program the kids used to, the computer game we didn't want them to watch about Well, anyhow, we didn't want to watch it. It was about, I thought I wrote it down. But anyhow, but they went to their friend's house and watched it, okay? And their friends said, well, why are you guys so strict? Because our friends are together. Well, the temptations are like that to us, yeah. Well, you know, everybody else is doing it. Well, if it feels good, do it. And some things that feel good are great to do. But some things aren't. That's when we take it away from God. Did you ever see the movie Judgment at Nuremberg? It's in black and white. It's a movie. Spencer Tracy, Burt Lancaster's in it. It's a great movie. And it's about the Nuremberg trials against the Nazis. And this one scene where Spencer Tracy plays the American, they have four Nazi judges. And these judges were following the laws of Nuremberg, the laws of Nazi Germany. They put their allegiance to Hitler over the constitutional law of the land. And they were on trial for this. And a very distinguished Nazi judge, played by Burt Lancaster, was in the final scene. And he tells the American judge, played by Spencer Tracy, that he really didn't know that millions of people would be destroyed in death camps. He said he never knew it would come to this. To which Spencer Tracy responded, he said, it came to that. The first time you condemned a man to death who you knew was innocent. One man, one woman, two women, four men, six men, 10. Well, that's not so many. Millions. You open the door a little bit, there's more and more. You give the mouse a cookie and he wants more, right? You give Satan an inch, he'll take 6 million. You see, Lent is a time for us to sit back and look at how much God loves us. Look at the joy of Easter, but look at, in the meantime, can be a very mean time. A time to return to the Lord your God.
For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. To believe that God is real, that your prayers are answered, that love is with you, that you are important, that you are a son and daughter of God, that you are God's royalty. And don't let anybody or anything let you think differently. And don't let anyone or anything take your eyes off the prize, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to overcome evil with good. The season of Lent is crafted by the church to help give us a sense of the wilderness experience of Jesus, to follow Jesus the way he handled it, and a time in the power of the Holy Spirit to face our demons, outside and inside, to take them to the Lord in prayer and to know God's healing, to know a strength that goes beyond our understanding, a strength that will never, ever end. And in that strength, go as his people into the world. Show the world love and life that Christ gives you in your heart and act on it. In the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.